The case of Darlie Routier has been steeped in controversy and speculation since the tragic events of June 6, 1996, in Rowlett, Texas. That fateful night, Darlie Lynn Routier's life was irrevocably altered as she frantically called 911, reporting that an intruder had attacked her and fatally stabbed her two young sons, Devin and Damon. The aftermath of this horrific incident led to a harrowing legal saga, with Darlie Routier ultimately being convicted and sentenced to death for the murder of her children. However, amidst the verdict, doubts and questions have loomed large, fueling ongoing debate and scrutiny surrounding the case. As Darlie Routier remains behind bars, steadfastly maintaining her innocence, renewed attention has been brought to the compelling intricacies of the evidence, the validity of the trial, and the pursuit of justice. Recent developments, including DNA testing and persistent skepticism, have shown a new light on this enduring enigma of true crime. The story of Darlie Routier and the profound implications of the events of that tragic night continue to captivate and perplex those drawn to the complexity of human behavior, the nuances of the legal system, and the relentless quest for truth. Is Darlie innocent in the murders of her two young boys, or is she a cold-blooded killer who decided to brutally stab to death her young son? Okay, here we are, batch recording, part two of Darlie. I'm Sherry, this is Outline of a Murder.
I'm Mom.
Yep, we're both wearing our Be Smart, Be Rude, and Don't Be a Victim. So if you forget, the next time, you can literally look on my shirt or look down.
Which you can buy these shirts, by the way.
Yeah,
on outlineofamurder.com. And patches.
That would be stickers.
Stickers, what else?
Just shirts and stickers. We have... okay, so we do have stickers, pepper spray first, apologize later.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll have to buy that one.
Yeah, and then serial killers and food, fast food or something like that sticker. So we have about three. Now, in this episode, I want to get into the evidence supporting her guilt. This is where things are going to get just a little bit interesting, okay?
All right.
So we went through the innocence from the last episode. Now we're going to dive into... some disturbing details. I'm going to go into the wounds of the kids and Darlie, and you probably don't want any children around.
The last episode was, I was on the fence. What about you?
I don't want to give my thoughts until...
till the end?
Till the end. Okay. But it probably won't be hard for people to figure out what I am thinking. I want to go back to the video or the picture of her in the hospital. And I also have that picture here of the bruising.
That's a big bruise.
Okay, so we'll get here. So the first is Darlie's wounds. So this photo of her in the ICU presents a picture to us of a gravely injured person who's barely survived. And then the and that's what always led me to believe she was innocent. And then the bruising... to me, reveals, you know, an attack and that she's fending off an attacker. And so that is what pretty much had me on her side for a while.
Oh, for a while?
So the other thing that people always point out is that the wound was 2 millimeters from her carotid artery, and that if it had been cut, it would have been certain death. And they also say, well, no one that is going to do a self-inflicted wound is going to get that close to the artery. And then who would stab themselves in the shoulder and dominant arm after slicing their own throat? But here's the facts, okay? The medical staff wondered if the wounds were self-inflicted, but couldn't be 100% certain. And one doctor in particular refused to say that they were 100%. However, what they would tell us is that the laceration was 3.5 inches across and defined by two physicians, one the surgeon, as being superficial. It was so superficial that the wound was closed with Steri-Strips, not sutures, not staples. It did not penetrate muscle, and it was less than half an inch deep.
Well, couldn't it be possible, because it was close to the artery? I know that look. I already know what you think. Maybe she was stabbed laying on the couch, which would be difficult, depending on how she's laying. Or perhaps he wanted her to see her children dead. And coroners or police have people that can say when you're stabbed on different parts, say her arm, shoulder, where it came from, that, you know, I don't like your look right now because, I'm just saying, do you have something like that?
Darlie and her supporters tried to say that she spent 2 hours in surgery and that her necklace was embedded in her wound and had to be removed, and that is categorically false.
How do we know she said that in the media?
The doctors.
Oh, the doctors.
Her surgery only cleansed, evaluated, closed the wound, and took 49 minutes and was considered, quote, an outpatient procedure.
Okay.
Dr. Santos,
it could happen.
The surgeon, simply examined the cut, closed it up with the strips, and he put her in ICU to protect her from the press. But under normal circumstances, he would have sent her home later that morning. Not even the rest of the day. And hospital policy required all ICU patients be hooked up to all of the equipment that Darlie was hooked up to. So all of this, it's not a picture of her condition. They had to do that by hospital policy. She did not need all of that equipment on her.
Okay, I understand that, but it's still possible what I said.
So her family allowed the press to get the photos taken.
Oh, that's not a good move. Why would you want the press to take any pictures?
I don't know. Her other wounds were non-life-threatening as well. The fact that her dominant arm was stabbed means nothing to me, except that it actually makes sense to throw the police off. Because if she would have stabbed her non-dominant hand, they would have been suspicious immediately. Mm-hmm. But if you slice your throat, bam, bam, they're going to be more inclined to believe that she was attacked because she would not stab her own dominant hand.
Right.
Right? And arm. The bruise. Let's go
but
to the bruise.
They can also determine how the knife was in, how it went in.
And that makes her look more guilty.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So what about the... That's a big bruise.
So...
Her whole
Again,
arm.
The bruise initially had me on her side, but all the medical staff, all of them testified that she did not have that bruise. And when you look in pictures of her, she does not have that bruise on her arm. Now, some people say, well, maybe she, like it didn't show up yet. Okay, the bruise appeared later. Medical experts stated that it looked like it was 24 to 48 hours prior to when this photo was taken that she had received the bruise. So that would have, this photo was taken June 11th, meaning the bruise had to be inflicted June 9th or 10th, not June 6th, the night of the crime.
She didn't have it on the tape and the silly string.
Oh, I don't know if she did or not. I'd have to go back and look. But what I'm saying is that the bruise was there after the crime. Her own friend and neighbor, Karen Neal, a trained RN, said there was not any underarm bruise when she visited Darlie every day that she was in the hospital. She did not have that bruise.
And it's not possible whatsoever that it would have showed up later?
No.
Well, how'd she get a bruise that bad?
Good question. Yeah. Good question.
The only thing I could think of, it just showed up later. No. If that's even possible.
It's not possible. Now, if you're killed in the moment you're killed and you have bruises, that those may show up later or not at all. The muscle may show that it's bruised, but it may not show up on the body because bruises require blood flow.
Is she in Is she at the hospital? Is that a hospital outfit?
No, that's a t-shirt. I don't know where she's at, if she's at her doctor's appointment, post-operation or what. So basically, the story is this. She has a superficial 3.5-inch cut. She has a stab wound here on her right shoulder and a stab wound in her right arm. I did experiments. So I'm really pondering this whole thing, this whole case. And I'm like, okay, the wound on the neck bothers me. Because how many true crimes have we done? And how many shows have we watched? How many books have we read? The only diagonal cases I've seen is usually positioning, right? Mm-hmm. So if you go to the Tommy Lynn Sells we did, the girl that survived, she was looking over the bunk bed and he had a sharp knife and just flicked his wrist and cut her throat. Hers was diagonal because of the positioning of her head and where he was in relation to her. But all the rest are straight across. And not only are they straight across, they almost decapitate the person.
That was from behind. But wasn't she laying down?
I'm not done.
Oh.
So then, my ex, he was still living there at the time. He came to the came home after work. I said, I need to experiment. And he said, okay. And I said, this bothers me. So I told him what was going on. He's like, yeah. I said, so if I grab you from behind, so I grabbed him from behind and I did my hand across his throat. I said, I'm not going to go up and I'm not going to go down or go up. I would maybe go down, but it's either going to be a slight diagonal or it's going to be, you know, straight across.
Right.
He goes, you're right. And I said, okay, well, she was on the couch. So let me lay down and tell me how you would cut my throat.
I bet he didn't like
laying down. No, he didn't actually. No. And so I laid down on one side and he's like, yeah, you would have to be, you know, like laying down. It would be diagonal. And I said, okay, so she would have to be laying this way on this side for it to be the direction that she says. He's like, yeah. And I said, okay, well, let me see. So then he lays down. I go and get a knife. It looks exactly like that knife.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't realize it. I went and got the knife.
You didn't video
it?
And
I'm like, I'm like, I would do this. Like, I wouldn't be doing this. I would, if I'm gonna slice your throat and you're laying on your side, which there was more blood on the left, so it was like she was laying this way when she was cut, I said, I would do it this way.
Oh, see, I would have went that way.
That's awkward. If someone's laying on their side, just try it. If someone's laying on their side and you're behind them, no, she was facing.
Oh, behind.
Yeah. So the only way for the wound to be inflicted the way she was saying, if it was on the couch, is she would have had to been facing a certain way, and you can't just flick it like that. She would be on the facing away from you.
Unless you were in the front.
But
Did she say it was from behind?
So when you look at her testimony and how she says the attacker attacked her and that she didn't know her throat was slit, the way she was positioned, it would not have worked.
Oh.
So I've got a butcher knife at my ex's throat. And so the comedy was the next day, I was like, if his father-in-law would have come out of his room and seen me standing over his son with a knife to his throat, he probably would have freaked out and had a heart attack.
Yeah, he would have.
So I was like, gee, next time I'm, you know, experimenting with true crime, I'm going to let you know.
Right, right.
But the whole neck thing is weird.
You didn't say about the experiment running.
Well, I'm not to that yet.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to do it back then.
The bruising, no one saw it until after. And the appearance of the bruise would mean that it happened on the 8th or the 9th for it to look that way. by the 11th, and the crime did not happen until the 6th.
Can you go to the silly string? I want to see if her arms were down. I thought her arms were down. I thought they showed her. It's hard, you can't see.
I think she does have the bruise, but that their funeral was after, if she would have inflicted, so I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it was after.
Yeah.
Okay. But here we have a friend that went and visited her every day, and there was, you would see that bruise. That's not a bruise you're going to miss.
Oh, no.
Now, to the boy's wounds. There's some blood evidence and then her demeanor at the crime scene. The first officer to enter the house was Officer Waddell. He saw two boys covered in their own blood from deep stab wounds in their chest and backs. Later, they determined that Devin, so he's the one that was covered. Whoever did this, it's just the biggest poop bird of any we've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is a close-up of him still covered. He was stabbed so savagely that the butcher knife went all the way through his body and into the concrete beneath the carpet. Devin also, the oldest boy, had a wound on his buttock, indicating he was kicking his legs to protect himself from the stab wounds to his chest.
So I don't see any cuts on the blanket, so he was probably covered after?
That's what I'm thinking. And he was fighting. So what this means is here, when the police officers arrive, this is what they see, right? He's underneath the blanket, but we know from the wounds that he fought his attacker. So whoever killed him covered him after.
After, yeah.
That is a signature of parental attack. Mm-hmm.
Right? It is. In all the cases we've done.
The first wound penetrated his left chest, puncturing his left lung, pulmonary artery, and pulmonary valve. The second stab wound penetrated the left center of his chest downward and entered his liver. And then the third and fourth stab wounds were on his shoulder and leg. Now,
he was stabbed four times?
Well, at least. Yeah, at least.
Because the other boy looked like they had more than, in the autopsy, more than
Yeah, so
four
in
wounds.
The autopsy photo, and this is a little one.
It looks like four. So sad.
Unless that is Devin, but I don't think so. So Damon, if we go back to the diagram of the house, let me see if I, okay. So remember, we've got Devin here by the couch. Then we have Damon over here, like in this hallway type area that's going to, the kitchen. Now the stairs are right here.
Yeah.
So we saw those in the picture. So he's trying to get to the kitchen. He's trying to get away. Officer Waddell stated that Damon was close to the wall near the hallway doing a slow crawl, gasping for air. He was making gurgling sounds as he tried hard to keep breathing. Darlie was standing near him with a wet, bloody towel on her neck, on the phone, but not taking care of her kid. So when she saw Waddell, she started screaming at him that the intruder might still be in the house, so he ran out to the garage. Officer Waddell told Darlie four times to put pressure on Damon's wounds, but she never did.
I can see her being on the phone to call police.
The police are there. Drop the damn phone and take care of your son.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She never took care of him. Never. Never went near him the entire time they're there. Never any life-saving measures. So Officer Waddell, he follows police procedure, waits for backup before going into the garage, which arrives seconds later. After clearing the scene, paramedic Jack Colby went immediately to Damon, thank goodness, And then paramedic Brian Kosak went to Devin on the other side of the room. He said that by this time, Damon was lying face down in the hall and took his last breath as he turned him over.
Oh, boy.
He began ventilating Damon with a bag valve mask, picked him up, and carried him outside to the stretcher and began CPR. He said that both Darren and Darlie were shouting, and it was very distracting. So it looks like in one of the crime scene of the boy, little Damon, I think that is him because of the stuff right here. They probably had a mask on him. But one of those wounds is while he was dying, which we'll get to in a second. Paramedic Kosak assessed Devin, saw it was too late, so he turned his attention to Darlie, who was in the kitchen with a towel on her neck. He took her to the front porch, away from the shouting, to assess her wounds. Both paramedics were asked if she was crying and visibly upset, and they said she was not crying. There's just a lot of shouting. Paramedic Larry Byford, who examined her in the ambulance, said that she did not ask one time about her kids. First responders also noticed that she never went upstairs to check on her infant son. So we can't say what people are going to do in crisis.
No, it could be shock or...
But yeah. I would be 100% judgmental. I'm just going to be that person, and I would have 100% checked on my infant.
Well, I don't know what I would have done.
If you found an intruder in the house?
At some point, your mind shuts down, but then her mind was good enough to pick the knife up and take care of herself and chase.
Well, let's examine that idea. Because if you have an intruder in your house that just stabbed you and your two little boys, what mother would not run upstairs to their infant and make sure that kid is okay?
Well, I don't know.
No,
because everyone's different.
No, not when it comes to mamas. They're going to make sure all their babies are okay.
Maybe.
They're not going to just, well, I hope that one's okay, and I don't know where the
intruder
is. Well,
no, but I don't mean that's what we're thinking, but they could be so messed up in the head.
She wasn't.
She may not have been, but I don't know what I would do.
I would 100% run to my son and make sure he's okay. Mm. There's no way. I don't see even you not going to check on your grandchildren.
No, I don't say I would. I would check. I would think in my mind, but I don't.
It's instinct.
Murder is such a dramatic
thing. It's instinct to me on kids. Yeah. It's instinct. You're going to make sure your babies are all right. So, I don't know. I'd love to hear what the listeners think.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There is no way if I thought an intruder was in the house, I was not going for my kids.
Same.
And not only
but I don't know what someone else.
Every case we've done where a mom is stabbed, she does everything in her power to get to her babies. I can't think of a single case. Remember that one that we did, I think it was season one, where the lady was shot in the face with a 45 and then stabbed more to get to her twin babies or her triplets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember that case.
And she was crawling to try to get to them.
To save them.
So, that's right. I don't think if you have your face blown off and you're still thinking about your babies, to me, it's crap.
Right.
Investigators, then they wanted to know, why are you downstairs sleeping with the boys, which she had been doing several nights before the attack? She said that she's a light sleeper and Drake tossing and turning in his crib had kept her awake.
I think Darren mentioned that she did that pretty often.
Okay. Well, here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
If you're such a light sleeper, why did you not hear your children being attacked, one of them fighting the attacker, the other barely breathing and doing a death crawl to the kitchen?
That's true.
I mean, to me, it's also BS. Mm-hmm. Plus, her story changed.
A little dramatic here.
And you know what? Okay, I'm going to have to calm down. Your throat slit and you don't wake up?
Yeah. Well, how do we know she didn't wake up when her throat
slit? She said she didn't. She didn't know she was stabbed. She woke up when Damon touched her. So you don't hear your son being attacked. You don't feel yourself being your throat cut and stabbed, but I'm going to feel a touch. BS. All right. The blood evidence is weird as well.
Right.
One investigator found it strange that there was blood everywhere. So, I mean, you could see it.
Yeah,
I mean, there is blood
everywhere.
Everywhere. Okay.
Laundry room, the
the but kitchen. But didn't
she say she ran to the laundry room? See, that right puzzles room. Me with the knife. I can't tell what that is.
Yeah, it looks like a floor.
It does to me.
That does well, not.
Maybe not, because look, that might be a counter on the side. There's a floor. Maybe that's a floor on the side. You know what? That is a top of a.
You think it's the top?
Yeah, see, that's not. That's a.
So maybe it's like ceramic tile?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. It's just a weird deal. It looks like it's
looks like the floor. Yeah.
And then we have blood all over the floor. Yeah. With this right here, the vacuum cleaner being on top of the blood is interesting, which we'll get to.
That's interesting, yeah.
So it's everywhere except for the kitchen sink and on the doors. So if we look, there's just a little bit that alerted the police to the fact that there might have been some cleanup. So let me show you. The kitchen sink.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they noticed that there was some right here and some here, but none on the doors themselves or in the sink. And then there was some when the doors were closed right there. And tell me what those look like, the real dark drops. See? So you got all these drops of blood and maybe a little bit of a footprint or something of that nature right there.
That's the floor?
Yeah. Oh, that's yeah, the floor right in front of the sink, the kitchen sink. So it's the cabinet doors open.
Like someone bitten down.
That's here. Okay. So right. They find that little bit of blood right there. Well, it's actually quite a bit. And then they see some on the floor. All right. This right here, they thought it was strange. The sink was perfectly clean. But there were bloody smudges around the edges of the door and beneath the sink, like someone had tried to wipe it clean. So they did luminol, and it showed significant amounts of blood and showed obvious cleanup, most likely using the sprayer.
Oh.
In other words, the sink had a lot of blood that had dripped in there, and then someone used a sprayer to clean up the sink, and then someone wiped down the sink area.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Luminol also showed, well, first of all, her blood was in the drain as well. And Luminol also showed her footprints. So that's what I was showing you. So we've got drops of blood, meaning someone is bleeding right there and it's dropping on the ground. There and then that's footprint. Her footprint. And they found a couple spots where they had these footprints. So they've got footprints that are Darlie's. They were able to match the footprints to her.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she was nowhere near the kitchen sink.
Oh, well.
So she tried to say that she must have bled out when she was wetting towels to put on her boy's wounds. Okay, which is it? Were you by the sink mm-hmm. getting wet towels, or were you not by the sink, right? And not only that, there are no towels, wet or otherwise, on or around her boy's wounds. None. One towel is seen by Devin covered in a blanket, but the towel was dry and it only had her blood on it. So you might have noticed that. So if we go to Devin. Here's a towel. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Devin's underneath there. We've got a towel there. That towel was dry and it only had Darlie's blood.
Mm.
So she lied about getting wet towels to put on her son's wounds because she didn't put anything on their wounds. She only put towels on her wound. And not only that, why would you wet the towels?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why would you wet towels?
Exactly. Good question.
Hmm.
So, she said she was just grabbing whatever, you know, blah, blah. No, she wasn't. And I think that any mother would not have wet the towels. They would have grabbed pillows, towels, taken off their own clothes just to try to stop the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if the butcher knife was dropped by the intruder in the utility room, where was the blood from it? And where was the unique splatter of dropping it on the floor? So there were some blood drops, which I think we see in some of the photos I have of the utility room. And sorry, I have like two things opened. I didn't mean to. Oh, this is a sink. Look at all that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So that's the sink. That's where all the blood is. All the arrows are pointing that.
Was she a clean freak? Do you know?
Oh, and then there's the one with the knife. She did keep a tidy house. That knife was on the floor. Look. That's the counter.
Oh, get it close up at the counter so I can see that.
Why
was the knife on the floor?
On the floor if she said she picked it up and put it on the counter.
And there it's on the counter.
So how did they get a crime scene photo of it on the floor unless they placed it where the outline was?
Oh, yeah. And then maybe
took the photo to make sure it matched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably what happened.
I was about to say, almost.
So it was the floor.
I almost had a heart attack. I'm trying to. Oh, here we go. So they found these types of drops. So those types of drops are of a person dropping blood and not running. So if she chased the intruder, the blood drops look different. They have like the drop and then a little tail.
Yeah, but look here how small that is. She might have stopped right there at the door. That looks like a door.
She said she was chasing him through the utility room out the garage. If she was chasing, there would have been drops across the kitchen, across the living room, the kitchen, and then through the utility that would have actually looked like she was running, not drops like she's standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit interesting. There was also a bloody smudge on the door leading to the utility room and then two more smudges on the side of the washing machine. There was also a broken wine glass in the kitchen as if it was broken during the struggle, but the glass was on top of the blood.
Oh, on top of the blood.
Then the vacuum cleaner, remember that picture?
Was there blood on top?
Yep.
Yeah.
So there was a vacuum cleaner carefully laid on top of two of Darlie's footprints. She claimed it fell during the struggle.
It could be possible, right?
Well, again, it's on top of blood, but, I mean, maybe. But it was carefully laid. It's not like it got damaged or anything in the struggle.
Right.
Like, it wasn't on a weird side. It was just laid down.
How's that go?
It wasn't on a weird, like, it was on a weird side.
Oh, my. You should see the head moves on this one.
Oh, they can.
Oh, yeah.
Items were retested in 2015 for DNA. Now, here's what many people don't know. This is a Sherry finding. Maybe other podcasts have found out about this. I didn't even hear about this. The prosecutors might have talked about it, but I don't remember. I've not heard this at all. Items were retested in 2015 for DNA. Many people think they've never released the results or they've never done the testing, but they did. So then I'm like, why didn't they release the results?
Why?
If they did the testing, why didn't they release the results? That made me suspicious. So I found out that the DNA was tested in 2015 per a court order in 2008. And there was no other person's DNA except for Darlie and her two boys.
Well, you know what? I remember. What about the under the fingernails?
Darlie and the two boys.
Oh, wow.
The only DNA, including from the bloody print, is Darlie and her two boys. There's no unknown DNA in
that house.
Why
would they not release that?
Because she's guilty.
Yeah. Which most people know.
And it doesn't fit the narrative. So if they release the DNA, it proves that only her and the boys were in the house.
Right.
So of course they're not going to release them. So that tells you what a good liar she is. Mm-hmm. Because she has talked about the DNA. And she can't wait until the DNA is released because it will prove my innocence. No, it ain't going to prove her innocence. It proves she's guilty.
Yeah,
right?
It does.
So that's a little bit interesting. Then the handprint of Damon that Darlie's supporters say that didn't exist, actually two existed. One was found on the carpet where Damon was first stabbed. That's the little guy that was trying to get away. The second was found on the couch. Okay? So you've got two handprints of Damon's. The only DNA found in the bloody handprints are Darlie's and Damon's. The only blood found on her nightshirt is her and the boys. Now, let me show you this knife again. The problem with the knife is, see how there's no guard?
Right.
It is a guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
That if someone was not wearing a glove and they used that knife, they would have cut themselves.
Because it's slippery, blood. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's not like a knife that people carry that has the guard.
Right.
Okay? So if you have someone stabbing you and they're not wearing gloves, their DNA is going to be on there. The other thing is her nightshirt. So let me find that photo. It's just really sad seeing the boys.
It's horrible.
Okay, so we've got her nightshirt. The only blood found on it are her and the boys. And not only that, there's cast off on the right hand of the shirt.
Oh. That looks like the shirt she had on with the bruise.
The blood on the back is Devin's.
Oh.
So she's wearing this shirt. She stabs him so hard that the knife goes into the concrete, lifts it up, and she has blood all on the back and the right-hand side of her nightshirt that is cast off. So it's not anything where it was transfer or anything like that. It's dropping as she savagely stabs her little boy. And this makes me really mad. So I'm just going to warn people, I'm already worked up. I'm about to get more worked up. Damon, blood splatter. So if we go back to the house and he's right here.
Right.
Man, this makes me mad. The blood, there was blood splatter found on the wall near where he was when an officer arrived, indicating that he had been stabbed a second time by someone who was bleeding.
Oh.
So she has cut her own neck, stabbed herself, and realizes he has crawled to right here while she's doing her stage scene. And she realizes he's alive. So she goes over there and drops blood on him as she stabbed him in the back for the final kill shot.
Oh.
Yeah. So the blood that was found all near his body was hers and his. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. I mean, you can't dispute some of these facts for sure.
No, and they're facts. And it's amazing how people will want to ignore the facts or come up with things and ideas that it's like, okay, if she got the bruise before, all right, maybe. I don't see how. I mean, you could say she's trying to fight her attacker, but if she was trying to fight her attacker, his DNA would be in the house. And then they could be like, well, maybe the cops didn't do a thorough search. Or didn't do thorough testing. They actually did, but then tell me how the cast off is on the back of her shirt of her son's blood, right?
Right.
Like, there's just things that you cannot ignore that is clear evidence. Everybody wants, you know, evidence that she did it. There is tons of evidence.
Well, there's two things not explained that you probably will. The sock,
we're gonna
which
get to
I don't
sock.
Think anyone really knows about that one, and the motive.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're going to get into both of those.
Okay.
The screen, though, first. So where are you at? Are you starting to lean a little bit
more? Oh, yeah. I'm starting to lean.
Yeah.
I'm probably there.
Yeah. I mean,
especially droppings with the poor little babies. You know, her blood washing, you know.
Can you imagine what kind of animal it takes to stage this scene and then you go over and stab your little guy in the back as he's death crawling trying to get away?
People have said, even neighbors, she always was pretty... Even killed.
Actually, that's not true.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, just, again, reports on the news.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So the cut on the screen was the only cut, There was no dust disturbed on the windowsill, and the screen wasn't bent in, out, or stretched. Now, when you look in the video footage, it looks like the screen was cut
straight.
Like this.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of, and maybe like here, like a T.
Well, and then it went.
And it kind of folds
yeah.
over.
But how are you going to fit through it without damaging it?
Exactly. And most people are getting houses. They don't do that. They mm-hmm. do this. Mm-hmm. They don't go down the middle because they need as much room. And then they'll tear the rest of the screen mm-hmm. to get in. So if a 6 point or 6 foot 2 inch male entered that screen, he would have damaged mm-hmm. everything. Okay.
He would have tore it. The dust would have been disturbed. And see, that's what got me with the original, was the dust.
The screen was loose. It could have been removed. It didn't have to be cut.
It was that loose?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. Also, if we go back, remember one of the knives from the butcher block had fiberglass and rubber microscopic material? Okay. It did not match the fibers of the fingerprint brush. So they tested it. And they, because everybody's like, well, it could have been the fingerprint brush. So when they tested the brush with the fibers on the knives, it did not match the brush. But guess what?
It did match
the screen, mm-hmm. and so did the rubber that was mixed with the fiberglass. So there's no rubber on the fingerprint brush, but there is rubber on the screen.
That's interesting. So many people think she's innocent. Mm-hmm. Mostly family, though, I think. And
well, a lot of people. I mean, there's a bunch of people that think she is. And again, I think it's her demeanor. I think it's her ability to manipulate. I think it's such a horrible crime. They can't believe a mother would do that. And I think that there's enough weirdness that if people don't dig far enough, they're going to take the twist, how the media wants you to believe.
But the blood evidence, the screen, there's things that you can't explain.
Well, here's another thing. So we're supposed to believe that the intruder gets in the house, takes a knife from the butcher block, and then goes and cuts the screen. Mm-hmm. So the knife cut the screen. They know that for a fact. It was the only knife that had the fiberglass material and the rubber.
And it wasn't cut for any other particular reason that neither one of them.
Mm-mm. So if we believe her story.
Right.
The intruder entered the house through a different means, went to the kitchen, walked to the utility room, cut the screen in a weird way, put the knife back, got another knife, and went after the kids.
That's pretty ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Yep.
Mm-mm. The bruise really bothers me, though.
That was inflicted 3 days after.
Well, I know that, but like how and...
Oh, no telling. I mean, she could have... like.
3 days after.
She could have had someone hit her. She could have hit herself enough times to, you know.
That's probably what she did. But
slam it in the car door over and over. I don't know. There's so many ways.
The hospital, nobody saw it.
Yeah, there was
so
no bruise.
So why do it after?
Because she realizes that she's a suspect, so she has to prove that she was attacked.
That's just.
Because the bruise, it sold me.
Right.
Yeah, it sure did. The light. Mm. Remember that? Why wasn't the light on? If the intruder went out the way she said, why didn't the light come on? It should have been on when the cops were there. Well, so a lot of people say, well, it wouldn't have because the intruder was too far away. We know that's not true because when the officers walked out the same way the intruder was, it came on and it stayed on for 18 minutes.
Oh.
And then let's get to the sock.
Yeah, the sock is interesting.
This is my second experiment. Okay? Yeah. So the only blood on the sock was Damon and Devin's. Mm-hmm. Inside the sock at the toe end were skin cells belonging to Darlie.
Oh.
Hmm.
But what was the motive to do that?
Her motive,
to wear the sock.
Either,
and then throw it out. I mean, why would you do that? I don't. That's the only thing I have never understood.
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh,
okay. So it when she dropped it off. So she sprints down there. She drops off the sock. It had a little bit of blood of both the boys, but it was like it was laid on the ground. So it, when you look up pictures on the internet, you'll see it was laying there. If you're running and you have this sock, which I could see an intruder grabbing it, putting it on to stab so his fingerprints aren't anywhere, you're just going to drop it. You're not going to lay it flat. It's going to be crumpled.
Do you have a picture?
I did, but I don't know where.
I thought we looked at it.
I don't know if I had a close-up. I just had the diagram. So, try to do an experiment. I'm curious if anyone can be running. Here it is. Be running, drop your sock, and see if it lays out like that. Because most of the time when you drop a sock, it's going to be bunched up more than that. So try to replicate that, guys. It's laying down and slightly folded over. But notice the blood is up.
Right.
So it's almost like she wanted it to be found. Mm-hmm. Okay?
But, drum roll, why?
Well, I think she wore it as she stabbed him. To keep her fingerprints off and to not stab her own hand.
Oh, I think that too, but why the sock outside?
To make it look like an intruder. Drop the sock.
Just drop the sock?
Yep. And then people are like, well, there's no way she would have had time to run 75 yards and back before the first responders came. I did it. So I was curious. So I measured out 75 yards and I didn't even run full speed. I did a jog and I did it in 45 seconds. I didn't put that down. She had actually, it was over 2 minutes. It was like 2 minutes and 15 seconds or 2 minutes and 9 seconds that she had to run, drop the sock or lay the sock and then run back. So I did a jog 75 yards in 45 seconds.
No cameras around in any of the houses?
Not that I know of. And so if I could do a jog, it would have only taken me a minute and a half. If she is a full-on run, she could have ran with adrenaline 75 yards, 30 seconds, tops, I'm thinking would be the lowest time it would take her, 30 seconds back, and then complete her staging. So it would be close. It would be close. But I believe she used a sock to hide her prints, stabbed her boys, ran the sock out to where it was placed, and then came back, slit her own throat, stabbed herself, noticed Damon was alive, stabbed him again, and then called 911. So now she has a problem. Her prints are on the knife. She didn't think it through.
So she didn't wear the sock with the knife.
Yep.
And that's why she picked the knife up.
Yeah, she's got her fingerprints on there. So she has to tell them, I picked the knife up again. Or I picked up the knife. That way they would know why her fingerprints were on there. Also, the attack on the boys was labeled as quick, deliberate, and personal. There was extreme anger toward the boys, and the killer focused on the chest area. Some people say that Darlie was a great mom, great with her children, but others witnessed her interactions differently. They said she had a short fuse with her boys. Eileen Shermer, a neighbor, testified that Darlie became enraged at Devin's 5th birthday party when the kids accidentally got water on her playing with the squirt guns. She took a piece of cake and smashed it and smeared it on Devin's face.
Wow.
She said that he deserved it when he started crying. A family member, Jackie Rogers, said that Darlie beat Devin down and ordered him around. There were also reports from other children that ran up and down the street unsupervised that they used the F word around all the kids all the time, even outside. Now, of course, this is evidence for murder.
Yeah, I could see that.
She also announced to friends and family after the funeral that she and Darren were going on a European trip together to get some plastic surgery done on her neck and hopefully conceive another child while there. Oh, and she was happy that she was getting $10,000 to pay for the boys' funerals because it was around $14,000.
Wow.
And then let's finish up with two more points. The dog didn't bark.
Oh.
The Routiers had a dog that, quote, barked at everyone, yet the dog was not barking when the intruder was in the house slaughtering the children.
Where was the dog?
Because I was inside the house.
If she was stabbing those kids, there'd be dog prints. There'd be
The dog, I'm thinking, was upstairs.
I was going to say.
But it, when the officers got there, it did bark at Officer Waddell, a stranger, when he came into the house, and it tried to bite Officer Wyman when he went upstairs.
It had to be upstairs then, because I would think if she was harming the kids, the dog would attack. Mm-hmm. So it had to be upstairs.
So you don't hear the dog barking on the 911 call until the officer gets there.
And it makes me think the kids were asleep too, and that's why Darren didn't hear anything until she started screaming, because if the kids would have screamed, the dog would have barked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then the final thing, and I do agree it's a major piece of evidence for the jury, but it's not the only thing that convicted her, is the silly string.
Yeah.
So they had all this other evidence, right? Mm-hmm. They're not looking at the silly string and saying, well, the other evidence of her innocence doesn't matter, because once you see this video, we know she did it. That's not what they did. They took in the full body of evidence, and then the silly string was just the cherry on top.
The silly string, though, would be, even if it's not real evidence, it would be a immediate dislike.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you liked her, it would be a personality.
I agree.
I mean, that would ruin it.
I agree.
Whole thing. Even if they didn't think you were guilty at that time.
They wouldn't have liked you.
Seeing that, yeah.
Yeah.
They sure wouldn't have liked you.
Well, they did watch it when they were deliberating 7 to 8 times.
It's terrible.
We can't know what they were thinking. Were they watching it over and over to see if there was any reason to believe she was innocent? See, a lot of people think they watched it and that's what made them decide she was guilty. No.
No.
It was all this other evidence. They had the blood evidence. They had, you know, there didn't appear to be any intruder.
Smart move showing that first.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. One juror did say, though, that if he had seen the other footage of her weeping over her boy's death, they might have found her innocent, in his opinion. So I do want to put that in there, that that video did play a major role. And he was upset that they didn't get to see the rest of the video. But again, why not? Why didn't the defense show the video?
It has to be some discriminating.
I wonder. So, like, when you look at all the other evidence, you can't cherry pick.
No.
And decide, well, you know, it was just a video, or what about this? Again, like we discussed with the Scott Peterson case, it's the full body of evidence. You mm-hmm. have to take all of it. And the behavior of the suspect is taken into account.
I'm curious, does it say in the jury how many were female?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Because as female and mothers, I think they'd be more apt to find her guilty.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Yeah. And I do think that the video was actually inflammatory.
Oh, I definitely do.
I do think that. But people have to understand, the prosecution, like we talked about, was not legally required to show the rest of the video.
And on the news where they had the trial too, they were talking about that was unfair because of the town they took them in, the percentage of elderly people, mm-hmm. and that she didn't get a fair trial. But, you know, everybody knew it. No matter where she would have went, it would have still been the same outcome, I think.
I do too, because of the mm-hmm. evidence.
Exactly. So.
And there's more to go over. But we're nearing the end of this episode, so I guess it's going to be a part three. But we're going to look at her story and how it kept changing and a few other things. But I would say it's very plain, my verdict.
Yeah, I'm going to say guilty. I just kept going back and forth, but like I told you, a lot of the media.
Mm-hmm.
So. And now her mother's given some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like sometimes when you, and Darren has even said, I think he's wavered over the years a little bit, because when you see him interviewed later, the years later.
Yeah. Is it later?
It's later. Is absolutely innocent. But as it goes, he'll say, well, you know, he never says, it's true. He believes her. It sort of wavers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Over the years,
mm-hmm. later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you can't believe media. That
no,
isn't
you can't.
Just a I don't like the media, but that's not what it is. You really can't.
No, you can't.
Because they don't show everything.
Nope.
They pick and choose what they want to show to sway. You know, like some cases, and prosecutors do that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They did that with the Scott Peterson case, mm-hmm. and we discussed that. You know, I think that's part of why people are still arguing over his guilt mm-hmm. is because of the media. But you have to understand, the jury, they are vetted.
Right.
And we do know that one, though, you know, in the Scott yes. Peterson case. But they're vetted, and their responsibilities explain very carefully that they cannot discuss the crime mm-hmm. outside of the courtroom. They cannot do that. Even during the trial, they have to keep their opinions shut until it's time to deliberate, and they have to be able to examine all the evidence. So the advantage of the jury is they see it all. If there's a good prosecution and defense, they're going to see mm-hmm. it all. Now, if the prosecution is twisting things to their own advantage or mm-hmm. Hiding exculpatory evidence, or if the defense isn't doing a good job, yes, innocent people mm-hmm. can go to prison. So I'm not saying that, but I am saying we have more than enough mm-hmm. evidence. You cannot tell me an intruder would be in that house with all that savage mess of stabbing and there not be some evidence. A shoe print, a fingerprint,
hair,
DNA,
anything
under her, nails, all of that stuff. You just can't tell me that.
No, and they wouldn't drop a sock with her DNA in it
at the
end,
and
just a couple drops.
She had
that
on. Yeah, she had that sock on. Uh-huh. And it was Darren's.
Yeah, I knew that part. Now, if she was using the sock, say, you know, for the knife, I would think there'd be more blood on the sock.
You would think so, too.
Except a couple drops.
If we look at the knife handle, though, the blood is only on the ends. Now, we see a little bit on up, but that's a drop.
Well, it looks like a pretty big drop.
Mm-hmm. Probably because she bled all over it.
Yeah.
But look at that. You know with that knife, that hand, if it's wet with blood, which it would have been, you would think that it would... So
I would
I'm
think
thinking
there'd be more blood.
The sock would give her more grip, but
right.
it does bother me a little bit that there's not more blood on that
uh-huh.
sock.
Yeah.
It does. I will admit that, but it looks like, and they were so tiny that I'm not sure how deep that knife even went because they were little critters.
On the other picture of the knife, it was covered with blood.
Let's see.
So.
Oh, and then. Tell me about his face.
Well, he doesn't look happy.
No. I think he is very sad.
Mm-hmm. The other one does, but not him.
Yeah, he's messing with the baby, but it could either be he was having a bad day, because that's Damon, the little one.
Or he had in trouble.
He'd gotten in trouble, or it's all over his face, the family life that he's having, mm-hmm. the mom that he has. I don't know. Every picture of him, he looks sad to me. Like, it wasn't just that one. If we go to, oh no, it's this one.
They both look like they're just not smiling kind of picture. Where's that knife? See?
Yeah,
it looks like a lot of blood, so I would think more would be on the sock.
No, because it's right at the very end. Look, it's not even all over the handle.
Not more than just two drops. You know what
I
mean?
I don't know if it was just true, too. I don't think we said that.
It just looked like it on the picture.
It wasn't a lot.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
It wasn't a lot, yeah.
Because,
see, it just looks like a few.
Well, there's more on the
other
side.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she has her hand in there. Right here is going to be where her mm-hmm. her palm is going to be. And so the blood was barely mm-hmm. up the handle. And so it would have barely got on the sock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking she's probably
guilty.
I want her to be put to death, actually. I'm tired of listening to
her. Yeah, it's been almost 30 years.
Yeah. And I don't know, like, Texas is known for getting rid of their
why are they
people
waiting?
Quick. And so I don't know why she keeps getting these chances. I want them to execute her because she did it. And it'll probably cause a lot of controversy, but I don't care. She's guilty.
I would like
to
hear comments, though, for sure. I wonder, she's done all her appeals, I'm sure.
I'm thinking. Did the Innocence Project take over her case?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
I only know Scott Peterson.
Yeah, and then Michael Peterson. I think they worked a little bit on his. I don't know. I don't know why she's not been executed, but it would be nice if she was.
Yeah, 30 years too long.
Mm-hmm. Especially for the brutal way her boys were killed.
Her little boys were killed.
But in case people are still like, nope, I believe she's innocent.
Tell us why.
We're going to get into her differing stories. I'm going to go into some of her testimony on part three that's weird. We're going to get into the journal she kept, the suicide attempt. We're going to get into all that and why I think she killed her boys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I'm going to do Elena's part.
All right.
Be smart.
Be rude.
And don't be a victim.
I could have done her part.
Well, I mean, the last time you said be safe.
I know.
Ridiculous.
I hadn't done that in years.
No, you did it last season. Outline of a Murder is a Mr. Joseph production. What do you think, Joseph?